First John chapter 3, verse 11. And this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he, that is Christ, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. The word of the Lord. In this particular portion of his epistle, St. John points us to two people. He points us to Cain, and he points us to Christ. Cain murdered his brother. Christ laid down his life for his brothers. Let's do a little bit of a study on Cain for just a moment. If you feel like it, turn back in your Bibles all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. I'm going to read the story that you're quite familiar with, but let's look at a couple of details there that I think will help us to see what St. John had in mind when he exhorts us to love our brothers. Chapter 4, Genesis. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Probably one of the things that will help put in perspective what happened in the case of Cain and Abel is to note that very first verse there in chapter 4, where Eve brought forth a son. This was, in a sense, a son that was the firstborn of all creation. Cain was the first human being brought forth by procreation. Adam had been created. Eve had been formed from Adam. And now the third person on the planet, Cain, was procreated. And God had promised when Adam and Eve lapsed and fell into sin that He would redeem them, that He would restore them, that He would save and rescue them from that awful, awful work of the devil. And God promised that He would do this through an offspring. Your offspring, God promised Eve, shall crush the head of Satan. Why would Eve not believe that when this baby came forth, this firstborn son, Cain, that this was the promised offspring? The one who would crush the head of the serpent that had tempted her and caused her to sin. What expectation, what promise, what joy there must have been in Adam and Eve's heart for this little boy, Cain. And he grew up to be a fine young man in so many ways. And the expectation was there. And another son was born, a younger brother, Abel. And as time went along, as they lived their lives out before the Lord and before their mother and father, their lives took particular courses. Cain's life began to take a course that turned him more and more away from God, away from God's commandments, away from God's prescribed methods and orders of worship, away from blood sacrifice, that God had shed blood to get the skins to cover his parents, Adam and Eve, in their sin, but to a life of prosperity and blessing. He tilled the ground and it brought forth massive amounts of produce. The work of his hands. The Lord had said to his father that of the sweat of his face he would toil and would bring forth. And this is what Cain had done. He had toiled and tilled, and it brought forth something to be proud of. And he brought it before the Lord. My works, the fruits of my labor. Abel, on the other hand, had done that which God had commanded. He had offered of the flocks the sacrifice. The book of Hebrews says it was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's. The thing that differed in these two young men's lives was their religion. One had a religion of works, tending toward self-righteousness and tending toward evil. The other came humbly, not of his own merits, but offering the sacrifice of another, a slain animal, a blood sacrifice, an atonement for his sins. Both of these boys were sinners. Both of these boys had been born in sin, conceived in iniquity. They had come from the fallen pair. They were in that same state of sin into which Adam and Eve had fallen. And they were born in that condition. And as time goes by, in the heart of Cain begins to fester. A disgust, a disdain, a dismissal, moving toward a hatred of his brother. And on what basis? It was on the basis of their religion. Cain tended more and more toward the desires of the flesh and the lust of the eye. He tended more and more toward a self-centered lifestyle. And the Lord dealt with him, with his sin. Interesting thing here says, the Lord had no regard for Cain and his offering, so Cain was very angry and his face fell. Something about his countenance, something about his disposition began to fall. He moved into that negative and dark side of human experience. That side of anger, darkness, bitterness, depression, foreboding, jealousy, malicious thoughts. He moved more and more toward that cloud of sin into which he was born. It began to work itself out in his life. And the Lord did not leave him to his own devices. God, in his infinite mercy and his long suffering, dealt with the heart and the conscience of this firstborn of all creation. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your face fallen?" Have you noticed in the book of Genesis, the Lord asked questions? Later on in Exodus, he'll give commandments. But in Genesis, he asked questions. "Adam, where are you?" And he asked question here of Cain. "Why are you angry? Have you stopped to think about what is going on in your heart, Cain? What is going on? Why is your whole countenance, your whole disposition, your whole expression of your life fallen? I can see the darkening and the dirtying of sin upon your life, Cain. What's going on?" God asked him. "Have you considered it? Do you not know that if you do well, you will be accepted? All you have to do, Cain, is to turn from that self-centeredness, turn from that anger and evil, and do well. Follow my commandments. Walk in the paths of righteousness that I have outlined to your father. Come and enjoy fellowship with me. If you do well." Just like the Lord had given Adam in the garden the great challenge, he now in the second generation is working with the son of fallen, sinful Adam, trying to move him, persuade him, question him, lovingly with moral suasion, bringing him, "If you do well, you will be accepted. Cain, listen to me. Follow me. Obey me. Love me with all your heart. And love your brother." And then the Lord warns. He doesn't ask this in the form of a question. "If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door." If you open your heart to that evil, if your eyes gaze upon that which is the desires of the flesh and of the world, If you do not well, then three things. Notice the progression. Sin is crouching at the door. Sin is not on you yet. Sin has not possessed you yet. The wages of sin is death, but death has not come upon you yet. You still have life and time. You still have will and purpose, opportunity to turn to me, to do well. But sin has already taken a position of attack upon your soul, crouching at the door. Oh, beloved, this morning, don't you know sin is always crouching at your door? And notice the progression. Crouching at the door, its desire is for you. Its desire is upon you. The tendency to sin, the movement towards sin, the listening to the voice of the evil one, the following in the ways of transgression has a lure to it. There are pleasures in sin for a season. And sin is at your heart's door, crouching and waiting, and it has an impulse to seize you. How precarious is our position with respect to sin. But you must rule over it. John talks a lot about this in his gospel when he talks about those who are sinning and those who practice sin and those who persist in a lifestyle that is sinful. He says, of course, we have an advocate with the Father. The Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But the one who persists in a life of sin, in a mindset of sin, does not have eternal life. And the test that John gives us is the test of whether or not you love your brother. If Cain had loved his brother, he would have seen in his brother an example of faith. The writer to the book of Hebrews certainly saw in Abel an example of faith, did he not? He puts him in the roll call of faith. By faith, Abel. But Cain did not love his brother. And there's interesting, another little interesting phrase in this Genesis passage that always sort of stood out to me as I look at it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, verse 8. What do you suppose those two boys talked about? You think they talked about the weather? If they lived in Texas, they'd had something to talk about this week for sure. Do you think they talked about the crops and the flocks? Well, perhaps. But I have a feeling that what you have in this conversation is an exchange of viewpoints, an exchange of ideas, an exchange of worldviews, a conversation back and forth where they set forth verbally and to each other an unquestioned set of views and opinions. And there's no doubt in my mind as I think about this, a bitter disagreement, a bitter argument takes place between these two boys. And I can just hear Abel saying to Cain, something to the effect, look how wrong you are. Look at the path down which you are headed. Look at the way you're behaving. Listen to your dad. Listen to our dad. Listen to Adam when he prescribes for us the right way to love and to worship and to serve God. And I can just hear Cain saying, you holier than thou, snot-nosed little brother. Who do you think you are? I am the firstborn. And all of those issues in life are brother issues. Have you noticed how some of the funniest programs on television involve brothers and the rivalry between them? Frasier, you know, some of those. I won't admit I watch it, but Two and a Half Men. Some of these shows, back and forth, it's brothers and the conflicts between them. And here we have a conflict that is not just psychological and not just familial, but a conflict that is supremely religious. Here are two boys who have differing viewpoints on God, who God is and what God requires and what God is looking for. And to shorten the story, since we're just about out of time, let me just say, conclude this about Cain. It said he was angry. And I believe that speaking to Abel, his brother, over this period of time did not make him any less angry. He seethed. He festered and boiled. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. That's really where the sinful heart leads, is to murder. That's why the Lord was so anxious to tell us in the Sermon on the Mount about the anger and hatred leads to murder. It is the murder in the heart. It is the premeditation that may or may not lead to the overt act, but it is sinful. And God arrests us and calls us back from it. Back from a hatred of our brother to a love of our brother. And one more time, the Lord shows up asking questions. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Where is Abel, your brother? Here we have the murder. We have the murder scene with the blood soaking into the soil. The very soil from which God had reached down and pulled it up and created Adam, their father. And now the blood soaks into the soil. And the Bible tells us that on several occasions this expression is used, but here's the first place, and probably the most prominent. The blood cries out against Cain. Could St. John have put before us a more stark and vivid example of hating the brother? And listen to the simplicity of his warning. Do not be like Cain. And then he mentions one other person, Christ. And when he mentions Christ, he said, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." If we know hatred by looking at Cain, and if we understand murder by looking at Cain, by looking at Christ, we see love. And we see not death by murder, but eternal life abiding in him. Christ did not murder his brothers. He laid down his life for his brothers. He laid down his life for his people. He laid down his life for us. If murder in Cain looks so disgustingly evil, love in Christ looks so irresistibly beautiful.